So the Ghostbusters are back. It seems like this is a summer of sequels or remakes and movies from the past. The last sermon I preached about 2 weeks ago was on Independence Day, the franchise that had talked about several aliens coming from outer space and trying to take over the world. And today we're looking at Ghostbusting. As I said in the children's sermon, I was in fourth grade when I first saw the film. And I remember the film saturating the culture. If you were around then, you might remember that Ghostbusters were everywhere. Ray Parker Jr. topped the charts with I Ain't Afraid of No Ghost. Remember that song, dancing around? And Who You Gonna Call was the catchphrase of the day. The Ghostbusters were popping up on lunchboxes and on lunchboxes and backpacks, just about everywhere. You could see something having to do with Ghostbusters. And it was a fun comedy that swept the nation. And I'm hopeful that this cast will be just as funny as that one was. As I was watching the trailer and thinking about this movie, I reflected on the Ghostbusters movies of my childhood. And I asked myself the question, why do the Ghostbusters have such a following? I mean, it's really become, if you were to look up cult films, like films with followers, the Ghostbusters is of that genre. Why do they have such a following? What is it that's so attractive about a movie like this? And what I've concluded is that we as people, we like movies about good and evil. Right? I mean, we do. We like movies where the supernatural is pitted against the natural. And of course, we like it when we, the natural human beings, win out over the supernatural, evil, ghosts, and goblins. We like that kind of a movie. Well, this morning I'd like us to look at some of these type of themes, and we're going to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 9 through 13. That's found on page 304 of your pew Bibles, and we're going to look at what God has to say about ghosts and evil and how we're supposed to interact with all of this. So turn with me, if you will, to page 302, Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 9 through 13. And as you're turning there, let me pray this morning. Lord God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your word. And God, I pray that you would help us to see clearly what you are teaching us through these pages of Scripture. Speak to us, Holy Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 9 through 13. When you enter the land, the Lord your God is giving you, do not learn to imitate the detestable ways of the nations there. Let no one be found among you who sacrifices their son or daughter in the fire, who practices divination or sorcery, interprets omens, engages in witchcraft or casts spells, or someone who is a medium or a spiritist who consults with the dead. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord. Because of the same detestable practices, the Lord your God will drive out these nations before you. You must be blameless before the Lord your God. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. There's a great deal that we could talk about with respect to this passage today. But I really just want to highlight three key points to zero in on. And the first one that I'd like to share is this. We have to have a healthy respect of the spiritual realm. We have to have a healthy respect of the spiritual realm. The spirit realm does exist. There are such things as angels and demons. And while we are to believe in the supernatural, we are not to dabble in the supernatural. A few weeks ago, we had a choral group here that came up and sang from Virginia. And I loved having them with us because as a student in college, I was part of a group that was very similar. It was called Musicon, based out of New England. And we took a bunch of high schoolers around, college students and young adults, took high school students around. And we traveled all over the East Coast primarily, and we sang in different churches. And the staff of Musicon was made up of a variety of different denominational beliefs. as Christians, we came from Presbyterianism. There was Catholicism. There was a Pentecostal and other brands of Christianity, if you will. And one night, I remember, we were at the training facility where we were learning the show. We spent a week learning the show, and then we would go out and we would tour. And I remember one night, it was maybe 9:30, 10 o'clock, my bunkmate and I were in our dorm room, and there was a knock at the door, and the director, his name was John, John walked in, and he plopped onto our bed. And he just looked at us, and he said, "I am so glad you two are a part of our staff, because you're so balanced." Looking at me, I thought that was kind of a crazy statement, but he said, "You guys are balanced." And I don't know what he dealt with that night. I really don't. But I know that some of the other staff who were from different areas within God's church, they would say that they saw demons and angels, and they would see things under every rock, around every corner. They saw the spiritual life of what was going on in God's church. And they would, every time they turn a corner, there was something spiritual to be identified. And I think John came that night because he had been dealing with some of that. Me, not so much. I never really had the experience of seeing demons and things under rocks or whatnot. But I do believe, as I said, that angels and demons exist. I remember one night when we were on tour, I was in the back and I was praying for the congregation. And I'd come forward, and part of my job that day was just to be praying over the congregation and praying for the tour, for the musical that we were doing. And so as I got to the front, I was standing in the front with the bleachers there, and we were singing the musical, and I was praying during this time. And as we got to the close, we were getting to the Vespers time, or just a time of worship and singing songs. And I paused, as sometimes I often do when I hear a congregation singing. I will just pause and listen. As much as adding my voice, I like to listen to God's people singing. And as I looked over the congregation, I felt, I pictured, I imagined, however you want to say it, I saw in the back of the sanctuary a giant angel. I couldn't see much more than from here down, but it just looked to me like there was an angel with a giant sword standing as if he was guarding what we were doing that night. I can't explain it. It's just my sense of that. I was just sitting there, and as I listened to the choir, there seemed to be, again, could have been my imagination, but there seemed to be more than just the voices of the choir and the congregation singing. It was full in that room. And I don't attribute it to just nice acoustics in that place. I believe that God was present with us in that moment. Was it angels? I don't know. But I know what I felt and what I saw. And so when we come to a passage like this in Deuteronomy, when we read through the Bible, when we experience life, we have to have a healthy respect of the spiritual realm. We don't have to see angels and demons, but we have to understand that they do exist and they are part of God's creation. We have to start with that premise. And the second takeaway that I would bring us to with this passage today is to understand that good and evil exist, and that God does not want us playing with evil. Good and evil exist, and God does not want us playing with evil. When the Israelites entered the land that God had given to them, after the Exodus, they were instructed not to take on the new practices of the people who were living there. In other words, don't take God's laws and substitute them for the laws that you find. Don't forget God's practices and replace them with lesser practices, which is obviously a lesson for us today as well. Specifically, the Israelites, and we here through Deuteronomy, are told not to partake in human sacrifice. I'm thinking that should be a no-brainer for us today. But also, divination and witchcraft, interpreting signs and wonders. We're to abstain from sorcery, using potions or drugs for magical effect. We are to stay away from attempting to control the future through spirits or conjuring spells. we should not be contacting mediums, or we should not be seeking out someone who has a relationship with a demon and calling up the dead for information to communicate. God says no to doing these things. And not only does God say no, he says these things are detestable to him. Detestable to him. And why are they detestable to God? Because these things distract us from seeking the one who has all the answers to our questions. In a quote taken from his commentary on Deuteronomy, author Christopher Wright says the following. He says, "It is a universal human desire to know the unknown, to have some preview of the future, to get guidance for decisions, to exercise control over others, to harm others before they harm us, and to ward off harm from others before they may aim themselves at us." We want answers. We crave them, and we will look in all sorts of places to get them. If you continue reading this passage in Deuteronomy after verse 13, the next section says that God the Father will send a prophet. He will one day raise up a man who can provide answers to the hope and the emptiness that we feel inside. That man we know to be Jesus Christ. And when we look to tarot cards, or palm readers, to our horoscopes, and we use them as guides for our future, or when we seek a medium to help us communicate, to hear from a dead relative because we hurt so badly that we just want to hear from him or from her, we are turning our backs on God, and we are looking to fulfill our neediness with something that is detestable to God. And this leads us to our third point. When we dabble in this area, when we play with these actions that God has outlined as evil, we will never be satisfied. We will never be satisfied. We are settling for something that is less, and it is a dangerous game that we play. As I said a moment ago, it's human nature for us to want to know the future. We want to be in control. We want to know what's going to happen next. And so we plan and we look everywhere we can. Even if it's an area that's detestable to God, we say it's okay. We entertain the idea that it's okay for us to look for answers outside of the boundaries of what God has said is good for us. We tell ourselves we can handle it, that we're strong enough, that we can do it. But at the end of the day, we can't control the future. And dabbling in these areas that God says is off limits has consequences for us. Faith requires that we trust the Lord. Faith requires that we give God the steering wheel and let him drive. Faith requires a self-sacrificing attitude on our part. Someone once said that despite our need for control, it really is better not knowing the future. God holds the key to all of the unknown, and I am glad he holds the key. In other words, God knows, so I don't have to, and I'm okay with that. The right attitude for us is not to worry so much about what happens next, but to focus on our actions and how everything we do can bring glory to God. When we approach life in this way, when we seek out what our future holds, when we approach life in this way, seeking out what our future holds becomes irrelevant. Becomes irrelevant because our future is in God's hands. God holds the key of all of the unknown, and I am glad that he holds the key. This is a great quote for Christians to live by. Our life becomes worship, and what we do honors or dishonors God. In an article on worship, Bob Coughlin, a director for worship, wrote the following statement. He said, "Worship isn't something we simply feel, And worship isn't the name we give to some experience that we have while we're singing, while we're lifting our hands, or while we're closing our eyes. It is, however, something we do with our bodies in all of life. We can worship God through our eating, through our drinking, through our typing, through our speaking, through our cooking, through our driving, and countless other ways. We worship God whenever we perform an act out of desire to draw attention to His greatness, especially when we're trying to draw others to Jesus and the sacrifice that He made for us. Real worship is determined by how quickly we forgive those who have offended us, how we handle our finances, and what we do when no one else is looking. When the Israelites walked into that land that God had given to them, God warned the people not to get involved in spiritual practices, the spiritual practices of the cultures that they were entering. He warned them and He warns us to pay attention to the influence we let others have on our lives. If we're not worshiping Jesus with our lives, we are worshiping something else. And these ghosts will be our undoing if we don't bust them out of our lives. When you enter the land your God is giving you, do not learn to imitate the detestable ways of the nations there. Let no one be found among you who sacrifices their son or daughter in fire, who practices divination or sorcery, interprets omens, engages in witchcraft, or casts out spells, or who is a medium or a spiritist or consults the dead. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord. Because of these same detestable practices, the Lord your God will drive out these nations before you. You must be blameless before the Lord your God. May we all practice being blameless before God each and every day. Amen.